Welcome to the Voice of the Valley. I'm Dan Curtis. Daughters of the American Revolution is an organization that's been honoring veterans from the earliest war in American history since the 1800s. Today, I'll be talking with Bonnie Briscoe and Helen Maston from the local chapter of Daughters of the American Revolution. We're going to be talking about the organization, its history, and what the local chapter is involved in. So stay tuned. That's all coming right up. Okay, so I am visiting today with Bonnie Briscoe and Helen Maston from the Daughters of the American Revolution. Welcome to the program today. Thank you. I don't know who wants to field this first question, but the first thing I was going to ask you is, how did this organization get started? How and when and who and...
In 1890, the Sons of the American Revolution had already organized, and the women asked them if they could be a part of the organization, just like we see the Lions Club, the Rotary today, women are involved. And the men decided that they wanted it to be strictly for men. But some of their officers encouraged the women to form a Daughters of the American Revolution. And so a very strong-spirited group of women got together and formed this organization, which is now the largest organization in the world that's controlled by women.
Wow. Now, when did that get started?
In 1890.
1890, so...
October 11th, 1890.
So they're a branch, it's a branch of the Sons of the American Revolution.
No.
It's completely separate.
Completely separate. Just because the women realized that they could get members. And it was amazing how many members they got within a 10-year period, or even a 5-year period. But they had it so well organized over those beginning years, and it's just been a well-oiled machine since then.
Wow. So what is its purpose? I mean, why did they form this organization?
The reason for its organization, number one, is to preserve historic values in the preservation of historic things that all had ties to the revolution, whether it be documents or statues or whatever, you know, that's our one main goal. The second goal is education, to teach our children about our forefathers and the sacrifices that they made in order for the United States to become an independent country. And the third one is patriotic. We promote patriotism by supporting the Constitution. Every year we have a program during Constitution Week. And we promote all those things. And those are the three goals of the DAR.
And you just finished that, I think, the Constitution Week.
We did.
Yes.
A while back.
And just to follow up on what Helen said is that the whole purpose behind DAR is to pay tribute and to remember the patriots, whether they were men or women, whether they fought in battles, or whether they supplied food or funding or sewed uniforms. That was the purpose. The initial purpose was to remember and pay tribute to these patriots during the American Revolution.
So let's turn to the local chapter. When was that established?
In August of 2013, several officers, state officers, came, and they organized a meeting in which they were encouraging anybody that wanted to start a chapter to come to that meeting. And there were only two of us that came to the meeting. So really, that's why I became the regent. and Talana Hooper became the recording secretary. But so we started from there. We had to be an organizing chapter. And so 6 months later, we had 15 members. And we were able then to function as a organized chapter. And then a month later, after the organizing meeting, then a month later, Helen became a member. And so we call those members charter members. And so from there, it just seemed like, don't you think the chapter has just blossomed?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're looking at, 36 members now? And we have four people with their working on their paperwork, trying to, you know, it's quite intense to prove that you're a direct descendant of a patriot. You know, that's one.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What are the qualifications? How do you join? What do you have to do?
Well, you have to prove that you are a direct descendant of someone that either fought or supported the troops in the revolution. My patriot is a woman, is my fourth great grandmother. And when she was a young girl in her young teens, she was a spy.
Wow.
For the patriots. And because most of her family were on the side of the English. And so she found out a lot of information, but her brother fought for the militia in South Carolina, and she would transfer information to them. But anyway, we have to prove that we are direct descendant of someone. And so there's genealogy involved.
Right.
And the proving of that is what, you know, you have to prove that you are who you are. Like with a birth certificate and your marriage, if their marriage involved, there has to be a marriage certificate. If they have passed away, there has to be death certificates. There have to be, in the later generations, they didn't have those civil registers to mm-hmm. go by. So you have to look for wills. You can use headstones, as long as they have the information on the headstone about birth and death. And so it's a little tricky when you get to an older generation. Now, DAR has a database of all the women who have joined DAR since 1890 and the patriots through which they joined. And so if we can connect a prospective member to an application that's already been proven, then we're in good shape.
So that makes it a lot easier.
It does.
You already have the footwork.
A lot easier, right.
Yeah. And DAR is a lot more strict about their membership than the Sons of the American Revolution. Even though somebody might be a member of the Sons, maybe that person's daughter wants to join DAR, they still have to go back and because they
Research
won't accept it. They won't accept Sons documentation, all of it, you know, mm-hmm. maybe. So it's different. It's pretty strict, but it's worth it because we all know that we are who we are, you know. So mm-hmm. it's a good thing.
And Helen brought up a good point that one of the things that we do in DAR, whether or not we're involved in any kind of activity, just by joining, you have established a legacy. And that legacy can be used by the future generation to go through our family lines in order to get to their patriot. So that's another advantage that no matter how active a person is in DAR, they have established that documentation for future generations, so it's a nice key to legacy.
Yeah, but you have to do a lot of legwork to get there.
Yes.
Yes, and I have to thank my niece for doing all the legwork for me, because all I had to do is prove that her father and I are brother and sister, and that was pretty easy for me. But I know some people that have worked for years, literally years, trying to find documentation that link them together, and it's really hard sometimes.
And it used to be that you could just say, well, my grandmother said, you know, and now that we've gotten generations farther away from the actual event, they can no longer accept the word of mouth. Now, they will accept diaries.
And Bible.
And
entries.
Bible records, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Well, I would think it's a lot easier to track that down now with the internet than it was
absolutely.
You know, 20, 30 years
and
ago.
And websites like Ancestry and American Heritage and, you know, all these different genealogical websites. There's, 10 or 12 of them?
Yeah.
And they're all interfaced with each other. So that makes it pretty...
My father, speaking of genealogy, this is an interesting thing that happened a couple of years ago. A very distant relative in Idaho contacted him, found out that they were related, and sent him this huge chart on a 24 inch by 2 feet by 3 foot sheet of paper that rolls up, that traces his ancestry, our ancestry, all the way back to Adam.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure there's some mistakes in there, but it goes through John Howland of the Mayflower and then back through the King of Troy. And it's interesting because I looked at all this stuff on the internet to see, well, are these people real? And I don't remember his name, but, you know, back then the kings would try to purport that they were offspring of the gods, the Greek gods.
Right.
And that's what the King of Troy was. But somehow they've pierced through that. And then tied him back to the Israelites. And then all that history is in the Bible.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing to be able to look at that and trace that all the way back.
Amazing. Amazing.
And the older we get, I think the more we appreciate our lineage.
Yeah.
And our individual family history.
Yeah, my kids have yet to appreciate that document. I've showed it to them, and it's like, who's that guy in the Mayflower we're related to?
Well, and I was a late bloomer to all of this, too, so I had a great deal of compassion.
So tell us a little bit about the local chapter. What things are you involved in?
We have a lot of things that are going on, and one of the things that in organizing a chapter... none of us really knew a lot about DAR, so all of us were brand new to this. And so we just started out with what the guidelines for DAR, and we started with the 4th of July parade.
4th of July parade, yeah.
Just to make our presence known.
And that was in 2013?
And that was in 2014. We started... organizing and then got organized by 2014 March. And so from there we started the 4th of July and just being there. And Helen carried the Betsy Ross flag. And we just, you know, there's been a lot of support in the community. Constitution Week comes in September. And we really have every year our program has gotten more and more interesting, and that's been nice because we've been highlighting patriots of our own members, sharing the stories of their patriots. We have a patriotic essay contest to the high schools of students who are dual enrolled at EAC, because those students do not have access to scholarships.
Oh.
So we provide a $500 and $250 scholarship to the winners of the patriotic essays. So they come and read their essays, their values. So that's so nice to hear this current generation. And then Helen's been shared about her patriot, and to hear... about a patriot five generations from the present. And we have shoe fly pie. We have molasses cookies. And so we create the aroma. John Hancock comes from 1776 and shares about his colleagues. Gary Burnett comes as George Washington and Mr. Constitution, you know, and he's very passionate about the history of this, the founding of this country.
So when and where do you usually meet?
We meet once a month on a Saturday. We start in September, and we go September, October, November. We don't meet in December. Then from January through May, we meet once a month, and then we don't meet in the summer, the summer months at all, because everybody's doing other
summer
things. Yeah. But
tell them where we meet.
We meet at the Family History Center over by Safford Middle School.
Oh, okay.
I would say it's the second Saturday, but it's not always. Sometimes it's, we have to move it around depending on what's going on in the valley. But but it's either the first, second, sometimes the third Saturday. We don't know. Like this time it was, we had to put it off another Saturday because of the fair, but we were involved in the fair parade the week before. And so in order to finance our scholarship program, every year on Valentine's Day, we sell chocolate-covered strawberries, which some of the businesses in town have donated supplies and the strawberries for us to use, and then we sell them. We take orders, and we try to limit it to 100 dozen.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And so then we all gather down at Susan Seifert's studio, and we set it up for strawberry dipping day, and we spend the day. And then my daughter-in-law teaches at Mount Graham High School, and so she always brings us a group of students that need service hours.
Right.
And so she brings her and John
Nichols
brings us four or five students that need service hours, and they come help us dip too. So
what does a regular meeting look like? What do you do in your average meeting?
The meetings are set up so we have a program. And a member will give a program, or they'll invite someone to come and do a program. And just this last Saturday, we had Paula Price, who did a program on the True Daughters of DAR, which are the members whose fathers were in the American Revolution. And of course, they were back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and they were involved with DAR after they got started. And she gave just an outstanding program on those, highlighted some of the 767 women that were daughters. And there were many more out there, but those are the ones that joined DAR. So we'll have a program, and then we'll have a business meeting. And everybody is so good to have input into the business meeting. These are not business meetings that you go to sleep on, because you'll miss something if you do. And then also after the meeting, several will get together and go out to lunch. And so it gives us a little time to socialize as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there are meetings in which we get a lot accomplished.
Yes, and then once a year they have what they call a cluster meeting. And what, 2 years ago we hosted us and Wilcox.
Well, seven other chapters.
Oh yeah, seven mm-hmm. other chapters. But we were the co-host. Mm-hmm. Us and Wilcox co-hosted a meeting, and there were seven chapters involved. And we met up at Discovery Barn, and then this year they had it, they have it?
In Green Valley.
In Green Valley, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get to go to that one. But it's just like a group in southern Arizona. It's all I don't think they do it up north.
They have their own meetings up in the northern part.
But ours are just include the Tombstone and Sierra Vista and Wilcox and Tucson, Green Valley, Fort Huachuca and Sierra Vista is all anyway.
The other thing is that DAR always wants to set a tone. And so for every meeting, and so they have an opening ritual, and it, you know, it just have like the Pledge of Allegiance, a prayer by our chaplain or chapter chaplain, just, you know, to set the tone of historic values. Home, God, and country are the three things that DAR focuses on. And even though DAR is non-political, non-religious, it just is trying to focus on the values on which this country was established.
So, Bonnie, you've been the regent since 2013?
The organizing regent, you're right, for 6 months. And then I didn't read the fine print that says that the organizing regent automatically becomes a chapter regent. And so that we've gone on now for 6 years, and doesn't mean that a regent has to stay on that long, but that was just nobody else wanted to take that position. And now after 6 years, you know, term limits. And so
DAR has term limits.
Yeah, right. And so Helen was just very good to think about. In fact, tell them what you thought about in making that decision to be a regent.
Well, it took me a few months to come to that. Bonnie came to me last spring, and we talked about the future of our chapter, that if somebody didn't step up and, offer to be a regent, that we may have to dissolve the chapter. Well, I can't let that happen. We put too much blood, sweat, and tears in this chapter to let it just die on the vine. Or we could join another chapter, like Wilcox, which is the closest one to us. But then the more I thought about that, she says, you think about it over the summer, because I usually go up to Prescott and stay with my daughter during the summer. And she says, you think about it over the summer. So when I talked to her when I got back, I said, I've been thinking about that. But if we join another chapter, we will lose our identity. We will lose ourselves. We'll become them. And we don't want that to happen. We like who we are. And so I told her when I got back in September, I said, I will take over. But I don't know, I can't do 6 years like she did. But I'm thinking that we get enough. We're up to 30-some members now and more coming in. And I think the more training we can do and the more involved we get with the state and even the national, and people understand. Because they're all like us that come in. They don't know a thing about DAR.
Yeah.
It's like diving into a cold pool. You just do it,
And there are three.
And then you get comfortable after a little while, and then you're okay.
There are
and then
three.
They can't get you out, right?
I'm afraid of.
There are 3,000 chapters.
Wow.
Yeah, and there are 12 chapters in 20 countries.
Yeah, overseas.
Overseas chapters. I'm sorry, I just reversed that. There are 12 countries,
yes.
With 20 chapters. So it's just amazing. As long as somebody can prove their lineage, they don't have to be an American, they don't have to be a citizen, but if they can prove their lineage, then that qualifies
them. A lot of those chapters are near military bases, but not all. There's one in Italy and one in France that aren't. And those people had people fighting, especially the French, had people fighting in our revolution.
Well, that's interesting that they would take the interest to search
exactly,
that out.
Exactly. But they did.
Interesting.
And just one thought, that on the local level, the community, has been so good and so supportive of our activities. I mean, at the Constitution Week program every year, people have been coming, and we've had anywhere from 60 to 80 people in the community coming out to support us, but also to enjoy.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yes, thank you.